I want this lesson.
Blog.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Coming up tonight is another hour of life, dinner style discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area, and we would love to hear from you. So let's get started as we introduce our diners for tonight's cafe. Robin?
Well, thank you, Miss Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I am one of the diners on our regular Transformation Cafe show. And we're going to just go ahead and work our way around the table tonight. And we actually have we've got a new lady on who decided to join us tonight. We want to thank her. Marvine, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, this is Marvine. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm going to have a good time with it.
There you go. That's what we left. A woman who's willing to take a risk and just show up and sit down and see what we're going to put in front of her at the table. That's really, really good. Okay, Mr. Jamie, will you please introduce yourself?
My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school, and I've been doing tattoos for quite a while, for the last 14 years up here in Seattle. I own a shop called Chrome Ohm, and I think I'll just keep going with my psychic armor because that seems to work out. So
yeah,
I apply the psychic armor to people.
Yes, he does, and he does a marvelous job. He's a fabulous artist and a tattoo artist. And he also is one of our guys who just loves to make sure that we're keeping on what's going on with the media and things like that. We kind of call him Dr. Information, so there you go. We thank him for being here on a regular basis and giving him his special perspective. Miss Gloria, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Gloria, and I come tonight with many different opinions, and I always have a lot to say about everything. And I'm sure we're
going to
have a great conversation tonight.
I'm sure we are, too, and I always love Gloria's perspective, too. So we've got a lot of just wonderful people that are going to come on in and dine. And we invite anybody else to come on in, too. If there's anybody out there who wants to go ahead and join, go ahead and push number one on the on your call button there, and I will see you on the switchboard, and we'll go ahead and have you join us at the table. Or if you want to go ahead and get onto our blog, you can go to show at transformationcafe.com, and we'll start doing some chatting. So you guys can go ahead and let me know about that, too. So tonight we're going to go ahead, and we've got, like, comfort food. We're at the Comfort Food Cafe. So we've got, for appetizers, we've got the potato skins, that kind of thing. We've got our nachos, and we just all the good little comfort foods, onion rings and all that good stuff. Anything you guys want to have that sounds really good so far?
Do the onion rings, please.
Onion rings. Okay, onion rings. And we'll do the specialty onion ring dip, of course, because we have to have that. How about you, Miss Gloria? What's your favorite comfort food for you for an appetizer?
Baked macaroni and cheese with breadcrumbs on top.
Oh, there you go. Those macaroni and cheese balls. Here we go. Okay, we'll have those on the table, too. We're going to be rolling away from the table tonight. I can tell. Okay. And Miss Marvine, what is your favorite appetizer?
Appetizer.
Yeah, if you had a comfort food appetizer, what would you choose?
You know, I'm thinking tomato. I'm caprese.
Tomatoes,
mozzarella, bay leaf, or basil, and a little bit of balsamic.
Okay, and do you have that with some crackers, or do you use it like that?
I like it like that.
You just like it like that? Well, it should be a little healthier. That's good. We'll bring a little more healthy stuff on the table, so that's good, too. Okay. So, Mr. Jamie, you want to go ahead and get us updated with Mother Earth and kind of give what's going on with everything just as a regular news update?
Well, I'll give it a shot. Of course, the leak has not been capped, for one. It's day 64. I think most of the news that I have noticed about the actual leak itself is that they're siphoning, they have a cap on it, but they're siphoning up a good amount of the oil that is when they're doing that. And in fact, they were trying to find as many ships as possible to get the rest of the oil. And any other thing they're pumping from the leak itself into a tanker, and some of it is being burned off. They're also trying to burn some of the actual combustible byproducts on the surface, I think. The major concern now is, of course, the leak. I think they mentioned the relief well, or one, in fact, wouldn't be ready till August. So they're actually drilling two right now. There is a massive flotilla of boats trying to skim any excess oil off the surface and contain what they can. Of course, now there is quite a bit of oil showing up on some of the beaches in Florida, so that is a concern as well. I think the major thing this week was BP's CEO was seen back in England attending a yacht race. So they were kind of, people were a little upset about him being somewhere else that he shouldn't be, or living his life, I guess. But, you know, far be it from me to, you know, judge that kind of thing.
I think they were, a lot of people were peeved. I think peeved,
right,
would
peeved,
have been
right.
kind of a more of a proper word, the way that the press was covering it was more peeved. Yeah.
Right, and as well as I think another BP official said some disparaging remarks in talking about the little people, I guess he called them, or just people that lived in the south there, some people that may have been affected by the, but he didn't say it in a bad way, but that's the way he was talking. So, a lot of it now is just the poor people that have been put out of work, and then trying to deal with BP, I guess, for compensation. So,
okay.
Far as any earthquakes or anything, I haven't really heard of anything lately. And our friendly Icelandic volcano, I haven't heard much to do with anything regarding those, so I guess they're kind of on the back burner.
Yeah, unless there's like major things happening with this stuff, we're not really hearing
right.
about it anymore.
I mean, they may still be erupting, but it wouldn't be affecting the travel, so I guess that's a major concern as far as the media.
Right, if it's not affecting them in this day's affecting, it's not really
right.
an important thing. There you go.
Right.
There you go.
So that's
kind
of, the leak is still there, and they're not really sure how much has been leaked, and they're not really accounting for the giant plumes of oil that are beneath the surface. I think somebody had mentioned that they had gone down deep, and most of the sea life in that area on the bottom, my wife mentioned she had seen a diver who had she had read or seen something about how the oil has just smothered everything, and everything is like there's no oxygen down there. So, yeah, below 20 feet, she said everything would be dead as far as the creatures that lived in that area. And again, maybe what they're not saying is how much oil is really leaked out, and that it's just going to keep continuing. And now they're comparing it to some of the other they were saying how this is a catastrophe and a disaster, and they were trying to compare it with other types of things that have happened, like the Dust Bowl, you know, or something to that effect, and how it affected people, and what were the ramifications, and how long it took to repair. And so right now they're still kind of they're battling. It's a battle, and they should be trying to get a lot more, I don't know, there's something wrong about just the whole way it's kind of became a blame game, and unfortunately Mother Earth and our ecology and the wetlands and everything else is suffering because of. So, again, I'm the voice of doom and gloom, but that's okay.
No, you're not. You're just telling us what's going on with everything. Just kind of an update on what's happening.
I have noticed a lot of people, maybe they don't watch a lot of TV or read the newspaper, or maybe they look at the computer, but they choose not to look at the news, because a lot of the times it's not good.
No,
keep that in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it is depressing because there's such a level of grief about it that, you know, we all hopefully on some levels are very caring about what's happening with the land. And there's just kind of I think for me, there's an unspoken level of just grief that's kind of going on with people everybody's kind of having a hard time talking about it because, like I said, it's something that we can't really control on a lot of levels. So there's a sense of just, helplessness about the whole thing. So,
of course, I mean, we may not be directly affected, or we don't live in that area, so I guess we don't walk in their shoes, or, I mean, I haven't visited down there in a long time, but if I do remember, it was very nice.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world, but, you know, they're also saying, too, that, you know, hopefully we will be able to have this thing taken care of in August, because they're saying, you know, it's going to get into the rainfall. There'll be petroleum in the rain. Of oil and
so
rain,
somebody give me some good news now. I've shared that.
Okay, good news.
Downer. We need some onion rings with some ketchup, maybe.
Okay, get the onion rings going. Yeah, here they come now. All of our meal just in time. Here comes all the snacky food. So there we go. We not just time for all the comfort foods.
All right,
just
we got that.
Sideline too. The largest earthquake that they're showing, and I'm going back to the USGS website here with magnitude 5.1 that was in Nepal in India on the border right there today. There was one that was a 5.1. That's a little bit of a shaker. But, again, we always want to remind everybody that the earthquakes are when they're in a smaller magnitude like that, they're slowly letting the energy dissipate on the planet, which can be very, very good. It's like we're always having small earthquakes, but we're so used to it that our bodies just don't necessarily feel anything that's, you know, on anything less than about a 6.5 or whatever. We're not really feeling it, and it's just kind of the earth kind of doing its thing. It's always moving. So that's kind of a comforting thing to know that. So there you go.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, there was a some very severe storm actually this last weekend in Montana. A tornado in Billings, I think, tore up the downtown and a sports arena. And there was another chain through the Midwest like they usually have in that tornado alley. So I guess the weather has been being very tricky.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had some very unusual rain. That's for darn sure. Mm-hmm. Marvina or Gloria, do you guys want to comment anything that we've shared so far?
I wouldn't mind. You know, it's interesting because I am one that doesn't really pay a lot of attention. Well, I don't watch the news a lot for the very reason that people have a tendency to buy more into negativity, and that's why there's so much of it. They've tried a couple of good news stations, and they didn't fly. But what's really interesting underneath all of that from a higher level is the fact that this whole mess is opening the eyes of just how much damage and potential damage that oil and the, you know, and quite frankly, you know, I'm going to be really blunt, it's the lust for money.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
From what I understand with and subsequently what's going to come out of that, I believe there are going to be some very positive ramifications. I know I did happen to glimpse on TV yesterday or day before where there's a group of people that fought the demise of the wetlands a number of years ago, and apparently the people are banding or bonding together to do what needs to be done to try to protect that land again. So you have a lot of people. What happened is there's no doubt that it is a tragedy on numerous levels, but the other side of the coin is it's also forcing people, and it's unfortunate, but it's forcing people to start to work together and adjust their dials and look at things a little bit differently. And if you take a look at that on a bigger picture scale, it's not only that, it's Haiti, it's a lot of the other things that are causing all of us to look at things hopefully a bit differently and begin to put our priorities a little bit more in order.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ms. Gloria, do you have anything you would want to comment on that? Did we lose Gloria? Yeah, she's showing up there. Gloria! She might have muted us, because she's living a... There she is. Any comments you'd like to make about any of that?
Well, the comment that I would like to make regarding the earthquakes, when you said that we don't normally feel it, I think that you can speak for yourself. I feel so many little ones.
Okay.
So, I'm just being flippant at this point.
Sorry.
And I'm thinking it's...
That's okay, because I'm eating...
It's probably another Mexican, part of my Mexican meal just talking to me. Okay.
I'm eating frozen peppers with ripe peaches, so...
Okay.
I know that we had one here the other day, and it was pretty mild. I felt it. My husband didn't feel it, and a lot of people that I know didn't feel it. But a lot of that has to do with sensitivity and awareness. Because you have to be really aware of here and now and what's going on, and too often people are not here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not dialed into... a real awareness. Let's put it that way. I'm trying to be politically correct here because I still don't know what I'm doing. But
you're doing great.
Oh, you're doing fine.
You really don't even need to be politically correct, because what it boils down to is that the people are so emotionally attached and involved to their life on the planet and to their families, they're so into their first chakra spaces within their evolutionary processes that it's beyond their capabilities. It's not until they begin to evolve out of that primal state that they begin to become even more aware. The awareness is what causes the sensitivity, and the sensitivity is what causes the awareness. It's kind of a hand-in-hand thing, and you never know which one's going to come first, but there's always something that will open the floodgates for them. So we just keep talking, and they will come.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, but I also have absolutely no doubt that a lot of the people out there have been conditioned to turn off their sensitivity and awareness. It starts at a very young age.
That's because they're conditioned from parent to child, and it's about breaking those boundaries and getting people to wake up and shake up the tree and to say, I'm ready to break this cycle, and I need to be aware, and then to pass it on down to their children. That's my reason for being here on this planet, and that's where
right.
I'm headed.
But it isn't just parent to child. It also is the educational system is full of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you take a look at that on a larger global scale, people... Basically, they learn what they live, and they buy into it, and they're taught not to feel, or they're not supposed to think about this, or they're not supposed to do that. And what happens is their feelings have been so sublimated, that they it takes a real rude awakening to get people to start asking the right questions.
Well, yeah, and it always goes back to getting to a place of being uncomfortable. When we're uncomfortable, that's when humans have a tendency to want to change. They might think about it for a long time, but once they get uncomfortable and they're being basically pushed to move, they're going to go ahead and make those movements that they need to. So,
you know what's interesting is the only thing constant there is change.
That's right. I was talking to Kathy late last week, and she had said that she'd heard a message from Dr. Doreen Virtue, and Doreen was giving a message pretty much more from the angelic realm about how just kind of what we're talking about. This is an opportunity for everyone to be waking up and recognizing that, you know, our alternative resources that we have, be it solar or, you know, wind and all the other things that they're looking at for having different levels of our natural resources and using things in a more gentle way, and, you know, using energies a lot more inventively. You know, we've got a lot of inventions out there that just like you're saying, going back to money, the, you know, petroleums and things like that have basically snuffed out, so they basically keep them the monopoly on having the way that we're using resources.
Right.
Speaking of new inventions, I just saw something that it's been a couple of years now, but it was being sold in a magazine. It's an ultraviolet sauna. You don't need steam.
It's an ultraviolet what, Gloria?
Sauna.
Osana. Oh wow. How about that? Yeah. And you know, we can be definitely using that with heat. A different way for
Green. When you think about the ultraviolet light that they're using to sterilize toothbrushes, you know, it's amazing what they're going to be able to do with light and sound and the vibrations of the things. It's like tapping into the rainforest. They have no idea what they're finding, and they're finding so many possibilities and potentials from light and sound. And we are so off the topic of the weather.
That's okay. Well,
that's
it's related to weather because it's ways that really you know, how do we move past this challenge and move into things that are being positive? And, you know, hey, if we go to the, you know, we always said that we agree about having it go to a talk about light, and we're definitely talking about light right now, so that's cool.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, is Masaru Emoto, who's done a lot of scientific research on water and water's feelings, did a major prayer and energy request day before yesterday, asking for the Earth's forgiveness for the damage that has been done to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there
has been,
I mean, that's just one kind of damage, and when you take a look at, and ultimately, you know, my thesis when I was in college was on man's injustice to man. And when you take a look at it, from what I understand with the oil spill, the company got in a hurry. They were told that they needed to rush things. And again, this is man's injustice to man, because the trickle-down effect from whoever was higher up actually put the pressure on, and this is very common, not only with this type of situation, but you see it in corporate America. You see it in medicine right now with all the cutbacks that they're doing at a lot of the hospitals and educational systems. And yet, you know, the fallout of that has a tendency to be that all it's doing is putting more pressure on the lower levels, and ultimately what happens is there's going to be an implosion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think actually implosion is probably the right process of what we're really seeking to do, because we need to come from the inside out for change.
Yep.
So implosion
Absolutely. Is
exactly where we need to come from. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. So it's just like, and it's almost really a metaphoric level of the oil spill, of an internal level of things that are needing to be coming out that need to come from coming from within.
Okay.
So in some ways it's a very good metaphoric level. I think it's kind of ironic with Dr. Emoto, because Transformation Cafe basically was born from the solstice last year. We had we had four different continents where we were doing blessings for water, and Dr. Emoto actually did the blessing for water on the solstice last year. And here he did another prayer. Yeah, he did another prayer this year that was asking
right?
for forgiveness. Pardon?
What,
Jamie?
The solstice just came by, didn't it?
Yeah,
solstice was on Monday. It was on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's been a year since a lot of stuff got started with all this. So it's very interesting where we've come in a year. That's for darn sure.
Has it been a year already?
Oh, it's been a year already, I know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it's sad that so many people take so many things in the earth and of the earth, including each other, for granted, and they misuse and abuse so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
not necessary. There's plenty of everything to go around if people get their heads in the right space.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
exactly.
The whole journey of humanity on the planet is about evolution and getting closer to God and becoming connected with each other through that process. And the Earth was requested to host the human population and the human race, and she knew what was going to be happening. She also recognizes that this time, and so you can realize that there is forgiveness for her, and asking for forgiveness really... it shows her that we are conscious and aware, but it's not necessary from the standpoint that she knows that she is bearing the brunt of it, because this is what it will take for mankind to wake up.
Yeah, it's funny. The other night I woke up and I was kind of watching my thoughts when I first woke up, and I was apologizing for being so stubborn.
Yeah, well, I think all of us could probably do a little bit of that.
You are not stubborn. You are not stubborn.
Yeah. No, yeah, all right. Sure, okay.
Oh, you know what my aunt used to say? My aunt used to say,
Well, thank you. I love you for that. Okay.
My aunt used to say she wasn't stubborn. She was opinionated.
There we go. Right. Yeah, just like you, Gloria. You are not stubborn. You're just opinionated.
Hey, I'm not stubborn. I'm structured.
I think we're all a little opinionated. Weston is why this show is so fun. Okay, there we go.
That's a good word, opinionated.
Is it really opinionated or is it aware?
Mm.
It's interpreted into the fact that we all have focus.
Yes, and we all have a passion. There's a certain level of passion about speaking from our hearts and having that be known on the table and fighting for that last onion ring. Because, you know, sometimes we just need to have that last onion ring. It's okay.
Well, sometimes it's better to let somebody else have it.
Well, and you can always cut it in half. It's always nice
there
to share. We can share those onion rings. It's okay. Okay.
Or just get another order.
Yeah, that's true too. See, Jamie's always got the what's the win-win. He's Mr. Win-win. I love that about him.
Well, give it a shot.
There we go. Okay, I guess we need more onion rings. I was listening to another talk the other day, and it was talking about thunder and lightning, and I wanted to kind of bring that into the Earth update because I thought it was so interesting. Everything has a vibrational frequency that it resonates with, and the Earth has a very low hum that resonates with the energy. So if you were out in space and you put a sound, you focus the sound to see what the Earth sounded like, it has this really low vibrational frequency that it has. And they were talking to this guy he's created all these different soundtracks and things like that from that. And he actually he just did like a harmonic frequency of raising it to the next harmonic level so we can actually hear it. And actually, I don't have that right in front of me. I apologize for that. I said that artist. Next week, for leftovers, I will bring his name on so you guys can know his name and stuff
like
that.
It's not Dr. Thomas, is it?
No, it's Alex.
Okay.
Well, Thomas is one of them.
But a lot of work with that.
Right. And it's very interesting to hear that. And but what I thought was interesting is they were asking him how it was created. And it's from thunder and lightning. It's from lightning storms that could constantly are happening all over the planet that resonate that energy. And that low hum is created by the weather with lightning. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, that would have to be also conditioned based upon the EMF.
Right,
because there's
right.
an electromagnetic field that obviously is going to cause that tension. So it's like tidal waves, but the ebb and flow of the ocean.
You know, yeah.
I got lucky enough
to get a copy of some CDs that were recorded originally. They didn't think there was any sound in space when the astronauts and folks went up there, and I got lucky enough to get copies of a couple of CDs. And, in fact, there's some very beautiful harmonic type of sounds that have been recorded from space, which is all interrelated with thunder and lightning and energy.
If you went to other planets, I mean, I know that there's storms on other planets. I mean, you look at Saturn, some Jupiter, some of the larger, especially Jupiter. I know Jupiter has a lot of storms and things like that, and they know that there is lightning and stuff on their planets. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's something else that's just kind of resonating out there with the universe. It's like, how marvelous to kind of...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's just kind of interesting because I really don't feel like we can be foolish enough to think that we are the only life forms in the universe, especially with some of the things that I had some scientists that came to me years ago talking to me about matter and antimatter, and when they met, there was nothing. And at that point in time, I told them there was a new form of energy that had not been measured yet. And what's really interesting is there's been articles on the internet just recently about matter and antimatter and more new forms of energy. And as much as science attempts to dig and find answers for a lot of these things, the answers that they're looking for, they're looking in the wrong places. Go ahead.
We have another caller who just came in. 111111. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you doing tonight? This is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you? Thank you for coming on the table.
So.
How are you?
I'm doing so well. I just love all the things that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Have you been listening in? And any kind of comments about the weather? Or we're off the planet now talking about all the wonderful solar sounds that are out there. Anything you'd like to comment on that, Stephanie?
Yes, it's exciting. You know,
it is exciting.
I was listening to the wrong archive. I started off, and I actually heard Stacey Henschel. And then
she was on one of our shows back in April. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think I'd learn how to use the internet by now and actually listen to the correct
one. That's okay.
When you figure it out, you can give me lessons.
There we go. Yeah, we all need to have our lessons out there. Okay. Well, we thank you for joining the table, and we're talking about the solar flares and sounds and all that kinds of stuff. So we thank you for joining us. That's really cool. So, we were going to go ahead and we talked about that lightning thing, so I thought that was really cool. So has anybody else seen Toy Story 3?
Oh, nope.
Come on,
nope.
You know what out there really who decided to go and get popcorn? Huh?
Do you know what amazed me is I went to the post office, and they've even got boxes in the post office with the Toy Story figures on it. And they had a thing, I thought at first it was a video game. Now, I'm talking in the U.S. post office, all right? But it's not. It's a postage scale with Toy Story figures on it, too.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Isn't that great?
Well, it's pretty amazing, I thought. I mean, and you know what? I think people really need the humor and to lighten up, and this is a good way, and this is one way to do it.
Well, Right. I saw Toy Story 3 the other day, and I just have to really highly recommend it to everyone. They did such a great job with bringing the story to the next level, and without giving too much away, it's just really delightful. And the last, take your Kleenex, because like the last 10 minutes of the movie, you're going to whine and cry, because it's just so sweet. It's just such a sweet thing. And there was a guy sitting next to me, and he started crying like a baby. So there you go.
Uh-oh.
How cool is
and
that?
And I think it's because we all go to our inner child. We all go to our child self when we think about our toys. And we think about the things that when we were young that just really helped us to feel good, that encouraged us to have our imaginations and to play and just know that we were unlimited. We were just totally unlimited with the things that we could do with our friends that stayed with us in our rooms and gave us comfort and just encouraged us to grow and challenge ourselves.
You're just positive tonight.
Oh, my gosh. I literally walked out of that theater looking at the world with a different perspective. I really have
because
to figure
Because as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the toys that my mother gave away,
that's actually a part of the Toy Story 3 is talking about change, talking about things that we have to give away, talking about the things that we choose to take care of. Because, I mean, there's even one point in the movie with that. Hopefully I'm not giving too much away. Andy's going off to college, and he's having to make choices about...
Yeah, you can't give
anything
away.
Anyway, he's...
Now
he's,
you're giving
he's,
it away.
Now I'm giving it away. Well, it's in the trailers.
I know it's in the trailers.
It's in
the trailers.
Okay, but anyway, he's having to decide what he's going to keep, give away, and things like that. So it's a part of that whole thing about transitions, about changes, and what people do and don't do, and why they make their choices in their life, which I think is just really, really cool. And they, you know, Toy Story, and then Pixar. I love how Pixar always has their little cartoon. They have a short before the main movie, and the one they have this time is called Day and Night, and it's two different characters. One looks like day and one looks like night, and they go through a process of judging one another and then looking at each other from a different perspective. And it's really cool because a part of it, they actually have Wayne Dyer as a part of it on one part of it where he talks about just looking from a different perspective, we see the world in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's wonderful the transition that they make through that. And I mean, it's only maybe 5 minutes long. It's not very long. But just that message was so powerful in what they gave on that. I was just very, I was really blown away by it. I thought it was really awesome the way that they did it in such a fun, playful way of being able to love somebody else's perspective. So it's very, very cool.
So what's a ticket going for now? Is it a matinee? And how much was the popcorn?
Okay.
Oh, God, the popcorn.
Well, you know, the thing I do for popcorn is I always get the kids' meal. So it's a decent-sized amount of popcorn, right? And
right.
then you get your little drink and you get your little thing of candy, and it's like $5.
And do you eat the popcorn before the movie even starts? You're halfway down.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as I sit down, I start munching on it, yep.
Do you
yep.
ration it out
people...
so at least you have some for the actual movie?
No. I just eat it until it's gone. And if it lasts, it lasts through the trailers. I think it's the previews.
Right.
That's about it. But that's me, you know. And I'm pretty good. I usually don't get
was
popcorn.
Was it in 3D?
They have it in 3D. I didn't see it in 3D. I saw it.
And
in
is
regular.
It more expensive to watch the 3D thing? Do you know that?
Yes,
probably
of course.
Is, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. You know, you go to the $6 before noon matinee.
Right.
Yeah.
Going back to the topic that we were talking about before. When you were talking about looking for different things, where scientists are looking for stuff in space based on sound
mm-hmm.
and light.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book that you might be interested in checking out, and they are delving into the new level of scientists that are looking outside of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Science and the Akashic Field.
Okay.
And it was written by Irvin Laszlo. He's written a couple of them, and he's talking about how scientists are now starting to come from a place of what if instead of where is it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I wanted to mention that back on that topic.
And that makes sense.
Well, and thank God we're finally looking getting out of the box. I was actually talking to Mark Bean earlier today about getting out of the box, and I was like, well, I'm out of my playpen, okay?
But another thing that's really important is too many people are going, who am I, instead of saying, what am I? And
mm-hmm.
it puts a whole different bent on getting in touch with your own internal self.
Mm-hmm.
I could elaborate on that, but I won't.
Oh, really?
I've got so many internal thoughts going on. It's like, why would I even start to say anything?
Who am I instead of what am I?
No, instead of saying who am I, say what am I?
What am
because
I?
Because you are pure positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to look at being pure positive energy and you start taking an objective look around, even where the things that are in front of you have life force. There's molecules and there's things living and moving in there. The faster the vibratory rate, the more solid something seems to be. You can't see air, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
The body itself runs on electronic energy, and scientifically they've proven that there's a weight loss of about 6 grams at the point in time of transition. And another thing that's really interesting is the first thing, you know, is energy, electricity that pounds the heart, beats the heart. Electrical impulses go through the brain. When you go into cardiac arrest, again, they use the paddles, which are a form of energy. And so when you take a look at it, your energy from the point of conception. And when you take a look at that energy, and now I'm going to take it back to the Gulf, and I'm going to take it back to the waters and every place else we've been, it's all energy. And we have
mm-hmm.
choices to either contribute to and to enhance and make it better, or we have choices to continue to interfere or make excuses not to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? That one thing about a complacency is one of the most dangerous things that we could possibly do on the planet, to be complacent about change.
You know,
yeah.
I recently had a friend of mine who quoted somebody on, they were on Facebook, and they were quoting somebody, and they were talking about everybody marching to the sound of their own drummer. And, you know, it occurred to me as I was reading it that regardless of the beat that we hear, complacency only is complacency people die and haven't done anything yet, the whole idea of marching to your drum or to your beat or to the music that you hear is that you're going to march in step with it. And the whole idea of moving when you hear it, we can all become leaders at any time within our life. All we have to do is listen to our music.
That's beautiful.
That's true. You know, the only problem with that goes back to conditioning.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter when we start as long as we do start.
Yep.
Well, and I think that kind of goes back to embracing everyone's authenticness. If you're being in your authenticity, you're coming from, like you're saying, you know, if I'm coming from my vibrancy of who I truly am as opposed to what I think other people want me to be, yeah, there's such a level of godness about us because we're really coming from our true selves as opposed to, you know, like what I think Marvin is sharing about is, you know, those beliefs that can limit us.
And the conditions. I mean, there's conditions on everything. You take a job, there's conditions with regards to job. You go to school, there are conditions. There are perimeters. There are perimeters, for example, even in healthcare, where, and I have worked in so many different aspects of some of these fields, and what's interesting about it is it may only take one person or let's say out of 10, five might heal at 3 days, but there's still that random other five that are going to heal at different rates, some faster, some slower.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really difficult to put, when I'm working with my clients, I can't put them in a box because each one is unique, each one is individual, and each one has a lot to offer if they can let it out.
Well, just like you, girl, there's just no way we can put you in a box.
Well, you could try.
She'd be like whipping it open, okay? Like, hiya! It's big karate chop, and she'd be jumping out of the box, okay?
And isn't it just annoying that you can't get them all on the same wavelength so that you can just tell them you are healed and they will heal themselves and be ready and out the door?
For centuries, they've been conditioned not to believe that's even possible.
I know.
Yeah, that's part of their power.
You know,
part of our empowerment.
The various religions.
I know. We're working to change the flywheel so it's going in the other direction. I know.
And you know what? That let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, one step at a time.
One small contribution
at a time.
What kind of services do you offer to people?
I focus primarily on personal and spiritual growth. Actually, I was labeled psychic, and I hate the word, by doctors and science engineers probably 40 years ago. And the reason they use that label is because they could not define some of the things that I do. They didn't understand it. They still don't understand it.
Okay, so let's call you weird. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Okay. She's weird. Okay, no.
You have to do this. The English word weird was originally spelled W-Y-R-D, and it meant mystic and metaphysical.
Now that probably fits too, but you know, it's a tough one because, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of the laws have not changed, and literally being psychic or being able to see things is still a felony in a lot of the states. It was funny because I worked homicide for several years and with different police departments. And one of the guys looked it up and showed it to me. And it's amazing what people think of when they look at the word psychic. One of the police departments I went to, I was working, and at first I was working cold cases, and this one particular department, I was with the division commander, a captain, and several detectives, and they walked me to the elevator, and they said, you know, it's amazing because you even look and talk normal. And when you take a look at what's been done with that label in the last...
At that point, At that point, you should have said, oh, my God, no, not normal. I can't be one of you.
Hey, you know, I have to admit, I was somewhat relieved. But I believe everybody has gifts that they're meant to use. And I have a tendency, I am much stronger when I'm working with individuals and small groups. I've done a lot of television and things like that. But in many respects, I'm way too ethical because I had one situation. Actually, they canceled the show, which was a good thing, but it was a national network show, and they brought a gal in for me to talk to who was afraid of tarot cards, and I had no idea what the scenario was going to be, and I got there, and they had a deck of tarot cards setting out, and she came in, and she freaked. Well, I would have freaked, too. And one of the things that happened, because she couldn't cope and she left the stage, and I did tell somebody in the audience asked a question, and I said, look, this is national television. And I said, they're going to do things like this to draw these kinds of reactions. And there is a way to help the lady. But when you start taking a look at some of the national television things and television or news in general, I had an opportunity to do a television show for a decent amount of money, actually, with a couple of the homicides I worked, and they wanted to review or interview some of the victims' family, and I refused to do it because one of them, I had a 3-year-old boy that found his mommy and was able to get through a chain door and was running down the street, and a utilities guy found him, and all he could say was, mommy's bleeding. You don't really think that I'm going to bring a kid out 10, 15 years later to have him try to go through that again? Absolutely mm-hmm. not. I don't care how much money they would have offered me.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just not worth it. It mm-hmm. just isn't worth it. And I think, you know, when you start talking about awareness and integrity and a lot of those other things, each one of us has a lot to contribute. And it doesn't have to be with all these labels. Labels drive me crazy because as soon as you label somebody, one way or another, you put them in a box. Because we're all so much more than whatever label it is. And yet society has said you need a label. Doctor, lawyer, merchant, chief, whatever it happens to be.
And that's why weird works beautifully.
Yeah, I like it. But I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't use it because that would just perpetuate the whole issue, and then a whole bunch of other
yeah.
people would take off with it, and all of a sudden we've got a lot more of these people out there that are bilking people for millions of dollars and not really not. You know, the hard part is some of us really, really, really want to contribute and do a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And for other people to try to filter through to get to what they're looking for, that's big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really big right now. And,
yeah.
you know, and it doesn't take a mental giant to figure out that yes, you know, I mean, this is not just the United States. The whole world is looking for answers.
Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah, it is.
It's about time. Everybody's starting. I mean, that's such a path of spirituality when you come to start doing a level of inquiry about everything.
Yeah, and then let's go back to the oil spill. You know, as tragic and dramatic as that is, it took something like that for people to have a major wake up, and it's going to be interesting to see what the trickle down effect is on the other countries that are making huge amounts of money on oil, because the whole world is going to be watching everybody for a long time now.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, and hopefully we're really going to be shifting things. So it's kind of as a sideline too. With I was watching I guess it was the Daily Show last night. They had an interview with a guy that had done a documentary on natural gas. And apparently
right.
there's issues now where they're buying people's property in, you know, a few acres, and they've got a different way that they're actually getting out the natural gas with a bunch of this, like literally the bunch of water is
pressed into an area where they have plant drilling gas. Too, because a lot of people, it used to be you owned the mineral rights under your property. And
right.
About 30 years ago, they started taking that clause out of the real estate contracts. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of companies, even though the people who own the properties didn't know it, slant drilling
right.
is taking
right.
place in a lot of areas that nobody's even aware of.
Well, and they're saying
out of... And about 15 years ago, they started looking to sell the airspace between and above your property as well now.
Yeah, that's right.
I was reading about that when I was in San Francisco a number of years back.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but
they're
saying with the...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say with the natural gas, what they're finding is that there's like 25 states now where they're using this special way that they're using these forcing water into these different systems and stuff where people are having to have – they're getting natural gases coming into their water systems. They're getting polluted. I mean, people, really, you know, they can light their water – they turn on the faucet and they can light it on fire. This is how dangerous it's getting with the level of contamination into our water system.
That's a true fact.
Yeah, so it's very concerning, and, you know, we definitely need to make this something that goes public real fast, and hopefully that's one good thing about the Internet. It's going to be something that gets out there very quickly so people can start really looking at their sources for water.
Well, you know, I mean, we're doing this. This is just my take. We're doing this one step at a time, just with people like us talking and truly wanting to make a difference in a positive way. And there might be times we disagree, but even with that, if we agreed to disagree, but we're still open, we're offering hope and we're offering insight to other people. You guys, that's really big.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. Really big.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I was wanting to share, too, tonight was I've been listening to Sandra Ingerman, and she's been teaching shamanism for quite some time. And I wound up listening to a program that she had. Actually, she put out in 2005, and it was Blessings for the Earth. And one thing that she said on that program was going back to Dr. Emoto, where he was talking about, you know, the power of water and how it connects the energy. And one of the things he did was he put different words on, like, jars of water, and then he would get a high magnified microscope after he had freezed it to see what the effects of the molecules were going to be on the water. And love by itself and appreciation by themselves were beautiful, but there was a totally different level when love and appreciation were put together.
I have his CD, Hidden Messages in Water, and his DVD, and
mm-hmm.
some other things that he's done too, because they touch base on that a little bit, I believe, in The Secret.
Yeah, they do.
And you know, what's amazing is when you start taking a look. I was lucky enough years ago to meet Clive Baxter, who invented the polygraph.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of the experiments they did with the consciousness of plants and things like that. And when
mm-hmm.
you start taking a look, you put that piece together and you put Emoto together and you put some of these other pieces together, and you've gotten something really, really amazing
mm-hmm.
If you look at it as a whole picture instead of just pieces.
Well, just thinking every molecule has got consciousness, every, you know, molecule on our planet, you know, we're actually larger hosts for, you know, smaller worlds that are going on.
Oh, big
time. Oh, big time. People don't really think about that, that, you know, just like the Earth is hosting me, I'm hosting another level of life.
Yep.
You know,
yeah,
it's really, you know, it's the macro, micro level of stuff that's just really, really wonderful. But getting real back to that, the love and appreciation, I've been doing that just in my thoughts without necessarily saying it on a verbal level. I'll think of something and say, I love and appreciate that. I love and appreciate, you know, whatever. I'll find different things to love and appreciate. Even in a difficult situation, I might say, wow, I love and appreciate how that person didn't explode or whatever. You know, I could see people were making choices that there were a kinder way than what they could have done something. And I've really noticed that, you know, people are you know, just in my reality seem to be just a kinder and gentler and more generous. So just by me seeking to find the love and appreciation from each person or each situation.
Well, that's big. And I think the other thing that's really big is if we see something we really don't like, or don't appreciate, or whatever words you want to put on it. What's amazing is if we say, okay, I know I don't like that and that's affecting me, what would I like or how do I want to feel? And we begin to retrain some of those autonomic reactions into responses. The change in us is huge because we begin to redirect our own energy output because we're magnets and we attract and repel. And I'm sure that you've all experienced going into a store and you were invisible and you couldn't get anybody to wait on you. And then there have been other times when you walked into a store someplace and I mean, people were smiling and they were right there to be with you. That has to do with what we're putting out. And sometimes
hey, Robin,
we have to... Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize. I didn't know you were finished.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to suggest that perhaps you send that love and appreciation out to the insects and the pests that you find around you. It has a wonderful effect on animals. You can stop a dog barking across the street when you're walking through the neighborhoods at night. You just send them the love and the appreciation, and they stop barking. And you can have insects that normally would bite you, like mosquitoes or bees. Any of these little insects, you can send them the love and the energy, and you can feel them reciprocate, and they go away. You know, it's like you're sending them off with love, and it's such a wonderful thing.
Okay. Well, that'll be my homework. How about that?
Oh, it's pretty amazing. I have lizards that follow me around, and they know I talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, never mind. We won't even go there, okay? That's enough.
For our next show.
It was like, okay, how many different animals did you connect with love and appreciation, and they're following you around because they just see how wonderful you are. It's kind of like Snow White, you know, she always had all those animals following her around, Sleeping Beauty. There you go.
my very first conscious experiment where I was actually playing with it, I was up in the mountains in Idlewild on a back road that they used for the septic tanks, you know, the people that would go back for the sewer lines and stuff. And people were hiking and things in the back. And I started sending out this love, and I was experimenting. I saw what I thought was a chicken up on the edge because there were houses and stuff that I knew, you know, because it's the sewer line area. And suddenly, as I'm sending this love energy out, the head of a deer pops up. And I shut it off, and the head went back down to forage. And I sent it back out, and the head came back up. I had so much fun. I played with that thing for like an hour.
Well, I mean, when you start having experiences like that, it's amazing. And yet you want to keep doing it because you're not sure it's really happening.
Well, exactly. You're not certain, but I've had it happen so many times. I've had butterflies come to me, hummingbirds. And, you know, this hummingbird was like 3 inches from my face. And it was just like, oh, hello. I was surprised I did it. And, you know, I've had birds where I called them based on that. And they'll come within maybe 5 feet. And then they swoop and turn away. But they're getting closer now. The ones in my backyard are getting used to me. And I talk to them. And they just hang out. And they're bringing their little babies now to come see me.
Yeah, you know, they recognize the energy.
Yes, it's very great.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have an inspirational quote there, do we?
Yes, we have our inspirational quote because we're down to our last minute here. So this is actually from Oprah Winfrey, and it says, "The smallest change in perspective can transform a life. What tiny attitude adjustment might you turn your world around?" So there you go. So let me read that one.
Oh,
on card with what we talked about.
Exactly. The smallest change in perspective can transform a life. What tiny attitude adjustment might turn your world around? There you go. Love and gratitude.
Well,
there you go.
Take care, everybody, and good night.
Night.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Thanks for coming.
All right, take care.
So everybody go, and we thank you for coming. And we look forward to our next week with Transformation Cafe, and we will talk to you soon.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation.